Marcus Tomas. We are back from the Batcave Studios here at Tasty Live. Would you like to see what the market's doing?
Sure.
Even the S&P is down 1650 right now, south north. They were down around 22 right after the number. They've come back by about 5 or 7. NASDAQ down 70, was down around 100. Russell was down, is down 18 and change. NASDAQ, I'll do this one more time. Dow down 150, Russell down 18, NASDAQ down 70, and the E-mini S&P is down 16 and change. They're all down around the same, except the Russell, which is still the weakest of the group, as it has been for most of the morning. Volatility up by 5 cents. 1520, small move in volatility. Maybe we get a little bit of a pushback in the markets out of to the green side with volatility lower. What do you think?
I don't know. We're going to see.
Bonds down 18, 114.01. Bitcoin hanging out at that 61,000 range. Oil back up 44 cents to 83 and change. Gold's been weak all day, down 40 cents. Sosnoff McDonald's had earnings. Today you have AMD. McDonald's down around $1.50, $2. AMD, SMCI, Starbucks, Amazon, Pins, Yum, Riot, to name a few.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a look at emails.
Herman's End.
Yeah. Emails that came into us overnight. I'm just going to adjust our gold position. This is kind of an ugly move in gold this morning.
Yes, ever since the bat top.
You know, gold, I hate to say this, but I almost feel like... copper trades cleaner than gold now, meaning I get better fills in copper than gold.
Interesting. Well, copper took its first downtick in what seems like eternity.
For freaking ever this morning.
It's a big move. 10 cents, a big move in copper. I mean, it pales in comparison to the way it's been moving lately.
Yeah. We have a short copper call spread above the market. Let's see.
Yep. Probably working out okay for you now.
Finally, we're a couple of pennies. Hmm. But our copper position came in. The rest of our copper position came in. It went against us yesterday, so whatever. Anyway, I'm Tom Sosnoff. He's Tony Batista. This is Tasty Live. Let's do it. Emails that came into us overnight, lots of them. Is there a set of mechanics for laddering into a position? I don't want to enter into a full position right away, but I'm not sure the best method for laddering it.
I mean, I don't think it's very sophisticated. I mean, I think you just reduce your size and, you know, I'd have a hard time. Maybe you're different. So I'm just talking about myself. I would have a hard time adding to the position if the position was working. I'd have an easier time adding to the position if the position wasn't working. I know that might sound odd to some people, but that's the way I would feel about it. Hard thing to do, laddering into a position. Over time, but not sophisticated. You reduce your size and then you add to your size.
Is there a set of mechanics? All I will
not
say is
we normally do.
The most important thing about laddering into a position is if you are laddering in, just make sure you reduce your size so that at each point that you ladder in, You're like, let's say you normally do, just as an example, you normally do 10 contracts. You don't do 5, 5, and 5, so you end up at 15. You don't do 10, 10, and 10, so you end up with 30. You do 3, 3, 4, or 4, 3, 3. Okay, so you end up with the same number. That's the hardest part. Other than that, just make sure you're disciplined about getting to your right number. Other than that, however you ladder is fine.
Yeah, not sophisticated.
Yeah, I agree.
And if I said gold is down 40 cents, I meant $40, a big move, right. 1.75%.
Right. The other thing about laddering, sometimes if you go out multiple months, you can adjust the price by a strike for each month you go out, but that's up to you.
Oh, if you're doing that all at one time, like you want to be long on a stock and you sell the 95 put, you probably could go the next month to the 90 put and to the 85 put and get the same delta on each one.
That's how we do it. Almost. Let's go next slide.
Yeah, sure.
I know that the indices have downside skew, but what about bonds and commodities?
I mean, they usually have an upside skew is the way that velocity or perceived movement is to the upside. And that's where usually people are looking to hedge.
I mean, you know, most things like bonds don't have any skew. But if you're talking about commodities like gold and silver, they'll have upside skew. Natural gas will have upside skew. Crude oil will have upside skew.
Gold, wheat, corn, soybeans.
Yeah, corn, wheat, soybeans all have upside skew. Most commodities will have upside skew. But bond, things like bonds, they don't have any skew. I mean, most of the time they don't have any skew. Sometimes they'll have a little bit of skew. Most of the time they don't have any skew. Let's go to the next slide. I have a large position in a stock from a company I used to work for. They have earnings next week and I want to protect my position. I was thinking about selling calls and buying puts. That's a like a collar or a cashless collar. What are your thoughts on this? And would you buy a shorter duration put just to cover earnings, but sell a longer duration call? Is there any other way to protect my position?
Well, they say they already have long stock in this company, yeah. And it's having earnings next week. They want to protect the position. Think about selling calls and buying puts. I mean, that think about what you're doing. You're selling calls, that's bearish delta, and you're buying puts, that's bearish delta. So, yeah, you would be quote unquote minimizing some of your risk to the downside, capping some of your upside. I think it's an intelligent way of doing it. If you have long stock, if that's your outcome that you want to do.
You know, if you have a large position in a company who you used to work for, that means all your stock is clear. It's not restricted. You can do whatever you want with it. It's your stock. Mm-hmm. And they have earnings next week and you want to protect your position. Usually what I say, just to sell a little bit of it, and maybe you don't want to deal with the tax consequence, but the best thing to always do is not to pay for protection, but it's to sell a little bit of it. Like let's say you sold 10, 20, 30, 40% of your position. You deal with the tax consequence, that's fine. But at least that's the smartest thing to do. But
it's the smartest thing to do. It's one thing to do.
Okay, it's one thing to do. But if you're thinking about selling calls and buying puts, like I said, that's a cashless collar. That's going to limit your upside and protect your downside. You want to do that
to a degree, right? You know the difference.
If you want to do that as a single trade, go right ahead. That's fine.
Yeah, sure.
But the question here is, should I buy a shorter duration put just to cover earnings and then sell a longer duration call? I mean, you could, but I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree with you there too.
You could, but I definitely don't like it.
Mm-hmm. I guess it depends on how bullish you are on this.
Yeah, we don't like spending. We don't like selling a call to collect money, then to waste it on a short duration put. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at the next slide. Have you ever looked at holding zero DTE trades until all the extrinsic is out, and then you recenter?
And I mean, I hope that's the way it works out, you know, an hour after I put on the trade or less, but it's going to take all day long. So no, it's not something I'm managing winners.
I'm not sure that we've looked at this until all the extrinsic's out, but clearly we've looked at zero DTEs until the end of the day.
There's still a little bit of premium in there.
There's always a little bit of premium
by the end of the day because time has value.
We've looked at them during the day and going to a certain percentage winner. And it's always better to take your profits early. And then if you want to reload, fine, recenter, do whatever, but waiting till all the extrinsics out till the end of the day, I would strongly, I would say no. We haven't studied that particular question. Let's go to the next slide. I'm slightly confused from the market measure you did on Monday. That's yesterday. Were you saying to hold the position until four? We were talking about selling straddles at the money call and at the money put. What we said is that at 14 DTE, it was more effective than holding to 25% because it just tend to manage it earlier. But when you say you're holding the trade till 14 DTE and then roll, I'm also rolling to 45 DTE when I do roll. That's exactly right. So what we talked about yesterday was when you do straddles, that the most effective way to manage a straddle was at 14 days to expiration rather than 21. And if you get to 25%, great. But if you don't get 25% at 14 DTE, that is your best return.
The key was earlier management in the
whole. Yeah, earlier is better.
Right.
Earlier is better, and that is your best return. So you know, that's all we talked about. And when you talk about rolling at 14 days, sure, you roll back to 45 days, of course. Or closest, it doesn't matter, closest. Let's go to the next slide. I have an account, this is the last one. I have an account at another firm and my account is being migrated. Okay, that means you're coming here or going somewhere else. In order to trade options, I have to apply for different option trading levels. Okay, well, that's not tasty because that is not how it's done at all brokerage firms. Just so we're clear about this. At Tasty, we have a little box you can click. It says the works. When you click the works, you get everything. stock options, futures options. You get everything. As long as you have the money to make the trade, we don't play the same game that everybody else plays.
There's no levels.
Yeah, there's no levels. You need X amount of money to do this. You need X amount of money to do this. You know, some firms are you need a certain amount of money to sell something short. You need a certain amount of money to do spreads. You need a certain amount of money to trade index options. We don't have any of those rules. Those are all garbage.
Can't sell calls in an IRA, yeah. Anything. Sure.
I hate firms that have all those dumbass rules. They just haven't updated their software. They're just not clear of the concept. We do risk management in real time, and we don't have any of those restrictions. So if you're coming to Tasty
Trade,
the easiest way is just to either wire in money or send a check. It's faster than ACATing. And when you sign up for the account, just click the works.
So if whatever reason they didn't have option trading privileges at ABC brokerage firm, they could certainly get option trading privileges at Tasty Trade or any brokerage firm if they applied for it, correct?
I can't speak for other firms.
Of course not.
Some firms don't even have futures.
But I'm just saying you're not locked in with, you know, if you're not locked in if you don't have full trading privileges at one brokerage firm. You're not locked in when you move your account. You can get whatever you want. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, the firms don't talk to each other.
Very good, sir. Yeah. Let's take a quick 90-second break and come back. We got more Tasty Live after this with Option Jive. We'll be back in 90 seconds.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Live, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.